Good morning. Warn all of you, this may be a two or three tissue morning. I woke up yesterday morning with my sinuses in uproar, so we'll see how this goes. The more I talk, the more I get worked up, so hopefully it won't be too bad this morning. But I want to talk a little bit about a topic that a group of us who have volunteered to develop some mailers that we're going to be sending out to the neighborhood around us. And we're talking about, you know, what are some topics, what could really grab someone's attention that when the mailer arrives at their home that they would want to pick it up and read it. And Debbie Grushon, who's part of that group, mentioned that she had spoken with her granddaughter, Summer, and just asked, what are some things that, you know, her classmates are concerned about or, you know, or maybe talking about? And Debbie had mentioned that some were overwhelmingly said that they were afraid. There's a lot of things in this world that they're afraid of. And I started thinking, you know, it's not that difficult to think of what in this world could be concerning, you know, teenagers, you know, young children, young adults, you know, from peer pressure, you know, high expectations being put on them by their family, by teachers, by other students. You know, school shootings, I'm sure that's something that is on a lot of students' minds. Maybe their grades, maybe they're not doing as well in classes that they would like. More and more children, you know, young adults are being concerned with political issues. And just this week, our niece Sarah has a son named Keegan. One of his best friends committed suicide this week because of bullying. So there are definitely things in this world that you think kids have no cares in the world. They do. So there are plenty of things in this world about which kids are concerned, about which they're afraid. For adults, we're not immune from that. Certainly not. It's not very difficult to think of things in this world that adults might be afraid of. You know, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, there's going to be a political issue that's got you concerned. Maybe it's your job, the economy, crime. For some people, it's just surviving day to day. There's a lot of struggles out there. Maybe it's their health. And lately, if the coronavirus doesn't have you just scared to death, I don't know. You know, I have to wonder about you a little bit if you're not a little concerned. So like teenagers, adults are not lacking in things in this world about which to be worried. And so we talked about that would actually be a good way to get people's attention. There's a lot of people in this world that are concerned about something, and there are answers that can be provided to them through the gospel. Now, related to this, there was someone that used to work at our company on their little cubicle had put up, you know, some little inspirational quotes and some are scriptures. And I was happened to be by that person's desk. We just haven't needed that desk, so those things are still taped up to a drawer at her desk. And it was one of those verses that I read that kind of stuck in my head. And I think part of the reason why it did is that, A, it has to do with the topic that we had just had recently about people being afraid or being scared. But another one is that the words are translated into a hymn that I listen to. It's not one that's in our current hymnal. It's called Don't Be Afraid, and it was written by Keith Lancaster. Some of you may know of him. I think Debbie says that he attends the church that she used to attend when she was younger. The lyrics of the hymn are very basic. There's a lot of repeating, so I'm not going to read the entire lyrics, but these are some of the things that are talked about. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. He'll never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. The Lord goes before you through the trouble and strife, and he will protect you all the days of your life. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. Be strong and courageous. Now, the song is based upon this verse that I had read on my former coworker's desk. It's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. So I want to read that verse along with the surrounding verses to provide some context to our lesson this morning. Beginning in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Moses here is telling the children of Israel that he's taken them as far as he's able to. He's not going to be allowed to enter the promised land. He's not going to be able to lead them across the Jordan River. But the Lord will still be with them. And he's telling them that they will inherit the promised land and they will defeat the peoples that live in that land. He tells them to not be afraid, but instead they should be strong and courageous. Well, why could they feel that way? Well, as it's mentioned, it's stressed in that passage, because the Lord is going to go before you and he will not leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He then tells Joshua, in front of all the people there, that he also should be strong and courageous, because he is now going to be the leader of this great people. It was important for Joshua to know that as the leader, that he was needing to show his confidence at all times and his trust in the Lord. So Joshua is told four things here. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you and forsake you. And do not fear or be dismayed. Joshua definitely had some very large shoes that he was going to have to fill. Joshua was facing one of the, I really thought about this word, not necessarily a turning point, but it's a pretty big point in his life that he now realizes that all these people are going to be dependent upon him. He was not only facing the challenge of replacing Moses as their leader, but he was going to have to be the people that were going to be leading them into the promised land that they had grown up learning about, dreaming about, this land that had been promised to his ancestors all the way back to Abraham. He, Joshua, was going to be the person tasked, entrusted with this, what a great honor on this day, to bring his people, the Lord's people, into the land that had been promised to them hundreds and hundreds of years prior. Would any one of us be surprised if Joshua wasn't a little, the gravity of the situation had made him, a little insecure, that he might have had some fear about this situation. It would only be natural. So let's jump ahead just a few chapters from Deuteronomy. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And verses 1 through 9. Starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all his people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I have promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here, now that Moses has died, Joshua is spoken to directly by the Lord, given the very same commandment that Moses had given him. But then, just as Moses had stated these words, the Lord himself reiterates them to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Throughout this passage is mentioned. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's telling Joshua this, because like I said, Joshua's human. He had to realize the weight of the responsibility that was on his shoulders for this. There had to be a little bit of doubt, a little bit of insecurity. The Lord is telling him, I am with you. Be strong and courageous as you go through this. Now, it's important to note that Joshua's call to leadership did not come suddenly, but God had been slowly bringing Joshua to this point in his life. The first time we even learn about Joshua is in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. In that chapter, we're told of a battle where the Israelites were going to be fighting the Amalekites. This is the battle where Moses, as long as his arms were held up, the battle would go in their favor. But even at that, a battle still had to be fought. It wasn't just going to be handed over to them. A battle needed to be fought. Joshua is the person picked by Moses to lead the Israelites to go fight the Amalekites. Verse 13 says, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So he carried out and was successful that day. We next see Joshua in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. Those two passages read, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses rose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. So Joshua not only now is assisting Moses, he's joining him in pretty important meetings with God. Joshua is becoming a very key member of the leadership of the children of Israel. In the two chapters in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, we see that the children of Israel just reached the border of the promised land, and that 12 spies are sent into the land to see what lay ahead. The spies returned, and they did all agree on one thing. The land was great. It was glorious. They saw great things. All that they had been told about this land, they found was absolutely true. But 10 of them, as most of you are familiar with the story, 10 of them said, yeah, that's all great and all, but we saw giants in there. We saw people in there that we are never, never going to be able to beat. Only two said differently, Joshua and Caleb. They declared, we can overtake these people. We can inherit the land right now. The people believed the majority, the 10, and because of that, the result was 40 years in the wilderness and a whole generation that did not get to inherit the promise. So after 40 years in the wilderness, Moses is preparing to die. He asked God to give the people of Israel a leader, and God told him that he had chosen Joshua. Now, the passage we read earlier, Deuteronomy 31, records the words of which God refers to in Joshua 1, verse 2. Words he had spoken to Moses is now being repeated directly to Joshua. So let's examine what was said. Be strong and courageous. because Joshua is facing a huge task and so much responsibility. Remember, as one of the 12 spies that scouted the land, Joshua's already been there. He knows what is ahead of them. He never denied that there weren't a great number of people in there. He never said that it wouldn't be something that an ordinary people wouldn't do, but he knows what's ahead of them. He knows the people that they will have to conquer. He knows what awaits them as they do cross the Jordan River. So in directing Joshua to lead his people, the Lord admonishes him three times to be strong and courageous in facing this task. Now, this is not just idle encouragement, as there are solid reasons for Joshua to be afraid, to be uncertain, concerned. This is a very challenging task that he's been given. But the same reasons that he were given support us today in our walk in the Lord as we go into the world. And so I'll share these three reasons, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing says Joshua could be strong and courageous because of the faithful promise of God. God had promised this land to the descendants of Abraham, and it was Joshua who was going to be the one leading them into taking possession of it. So God encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous in leading the people forward because of his word, because of his promise that he had made to his people. We can take strength and courage in our Christian walk for the very same reason, because God has promises that he's made to us. Very basic one. When you'd be hard-pressed to watch a sporting event and not see John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Another similar passage is found in Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, 25 through 34. "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Then the last passage I want to look at here is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going." Through these three passages, we can learn that we can trust in the Lord. The Lord sent his Son to this earth that through him, we can have eternal life. That's a great, great, great promise. We can be strong and courageous because we know this promise was given to us, to you, to every one of us, everyone in the world this promise was given to. It was not conditional at all. In the Matthew passage, he talks about he takes care of the creatures in nature, and they have much less worth than we do, and he takes care of them. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own anxious moments. Dwell on today, because you know that the Lord will take care of you. And then in the John chapter 14 passage, we're told that he promised us a place in heaven. We can be very strong and very courageous, knowing that whatever may happen on this earth, if we live our lives in such a way that we believe in God and believe in Jesus, as it states there in John chapter 14, we can inherit a room in heaven. That is a great promise about our ultimate eternal home that he provides to us. And so because of that, we today can be strong. We can be courageous about what awaits us. Now, the next thing that Joshua is told why he should be strong and courageous, because of his obedience, Joshua's obedience to the laws of Moses. In taking lessons from this account, we have to be careful to understand that the word success is mentioned in that Joshua passage, this success that Joshua would have. We have to understand that this success that Joshua was being promised was not a success like a career, like the prosperity that may come from what the world considers someone who is successful. Material prosperity is defined by the standards of the world is not what we're talking about here. But the success that God is mentioning is inevitable if his terms are followed. For Joshua to be a successful leader, Joshua is told, you need to follow the law. You need to live your life according to all the law. Verse 7 of Joshua 1 makes that very clear, that Joshua's strength and courage will be based upon his faithfulness, not the people's faithfulness, his faithfulness. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. When it comes right down to it, most Christians know a lot more of the Bible than they actually apply to their lives. It's not that we don't know what is right. It's that we choose not to do what is right. This isn't anything new. It's not something that is a new phenomenon, you know, for our lifetime. But the Apostle Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." To be successful, we have to meet God's standards. And God's standard is we have to do his will. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so Joshua is admonished to stay on the right path. He's not to go off to the side, to the left, or to the right. But he is to do exactly what God is expecting him to do. And if God expects us to do what we do, and we do it, we will receive the promise that we have of the home in heaven that we are told. Now, secondly, Joshua was also to talk about God's word. The text in verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Clearly, Joshua is called upon to include the word in his life. It's to be a strong part of it. It's not something that you pick up just a couple times a year. This is supposed to be a daily engagement with the law and with the word. With the word of God in our heart, it will flow out from our, you know, from our lives. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." This is talking about the gospel. We need to study the gospel, where if someone comes up to you and says, "Well, I don't think you need to be baptized to be saved." Pretty basic question that someone who knows what we believe as members of the body of Christ, we have to be able to respond to that. That's a pretty basic one. You'll get other questions that are much more complex, I'm sure. You need to be able to study in such that you can provide a ready answer. And the last thing that Joshua is told that he needed to do, or the reason why he could be strong and he could be courageous, maybe the most encouraging one for us today. Yes, Joshua had direct involvement or direct conversations with Jesus, with God, but this doesn't change any today just because we don't have that relationship that Joshua did. The Lord was with Joshua, and because of that, Joshua could be strong and he could be courageous. as God was with Moses, he's being told, I'm going to be with you too, Joshua. In verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, this promise is something that we can find in other parts of Scripture, not about Joshua or the children of Israel, per se, going into the land. And I want to read a couple of these passages. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. David is telling his son, you've got this great work ahead of you. Be strong and courageous and complete it. But if we want to take a passage out of the New Testament that we could apply maybe directly to us, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 read, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we could confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's not be strong and courageous, but it's saying the Lord is not going to be forsake us. He's not going to leave us. If we keep his laws, if we understand his presence in our life, he will be our helper. And it says, we will not fear. What can anyone do to me that's going to be worse than what the Lord can do to me if I'm not in this way? So if knowing that the Lord is with us can help us go out and overcome the fears that we have in this world, knowing that the ultimate home for us in heaven is waiting for us, and that can help us be strong and courageous. So in conclusion, being strong and having courage is a requirement to be a Christian. You have to overcome a lot. You have to, in some cases, have some thick skin, but you have to be able to overcome that, and having the strength and the courage that comes from the Word of God can help us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The last part of Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if God is for us, who is against us? We have the basis for our strength, and we have the basis for our courage. And if we do so, God will grant us his success and prosperity if we follow the advice of Joshua, doing what is commanded in God's word, holding his word in our hearts and in our mouths, and acting upon his word day and night. I started this talk by listing reasons why people in this world are afraid. And I don't mean to belittle those reasons or say there aren't things in this world that we actually, you know, should be, you know, be concerned about. But if there's one thing that should wake you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, is wondering about where you're going to spend your eternal life. Most people in this world say, once you die, that's it. There's nothing more to it. But there's enough evidence in this world to let us know that eternal life is awaiting all of us. The thought is, if the thought about where you're going to spend eternity causes you to be afraid and to not be strong and be courageous, and if you're not living your life in the way that Joshua was told he needed to live his life, then you've got great reasons to be concerned. You have reasons to be afraid. When I think of how hell is described in the scripture, I'm sure it pales in comparison to what it actually is. Because once you get in that situation, you're never getting out. There's no opportunity for you to change your mind and say, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be this bad. Let me do what I need to do. Now is the time that you can make that decision and avoid finding yourself in that place. If you are here this morning and are scared about where your eternal life is, you have an opportunity to come forward at this moment, confessing the name of Jesus, believing in him, and being buried in the waters of baptism. If anyone here this morning has need to respond to that call, we ask you now to come as we stand and as we sing.